You are listening to the Movie Cheer Podcast, the best place for movie topics and blockbuster discussions. Welcome to Movie Cheer Town.
Now, everyone, it's time to spread a bit of movie cheer.
Welcome to the Movie Cheer Podcast, the show for movie fans. I am your host, AP, aka Mr. Movie Cheer. And on today's episode of the Movie Cheer Pod, I will be discussing bad video game movie adaptions. Question mark. The question mark is the most important thing here. Are they bad video game movie adaptions? I've got four to choose from today. I've got four to deep dive into in today's headline topic. And I'm going to really discuss, these are some movies that really bombed at the box office. They weren't successful. But I want to look at them and do a bit of a deep dive into each one of them and really see whether they are bad movies or are they good movies? Were they misunderstood movies? I want to deep dive into them. So that's going to be today's headline topic for today's episode. But before we begin the show and before we get to today's headline topic, I'd like to start off the show with a segment called What's Been on the Screen.
Ooh, what's been on the screen?
What's been on the screen? What have I been watching over this past week, ladies and gents? Well, I'm going to get to, first of all, the finale of Ahsoka, the Star Wars show based on the Ahsoka Tano character. So this is going to be spoilers for the, you know, for the show, for the finale. So spoilers ahead in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, ladies and gents. I don't want to spoil this show for anyone because I really, you know, I'm a big fan of Star Wars, and anyone out there who is also a fan, I don't like spoiling Star Wars for people. So let's get into this episode. Let's do a bit of a deep dive and kind of just on the show as always. I feel like I'm going to have to do an episode, I think probably next weekend maybe, or the week after, at some point soon, an episode discussing this Mandoverse Thrawn movie. I feel like there's so much to unravel and really get into with all that I feel like a whole episode needs to be dedicated to that at some point. But let's just talk about this finale, you know, the finale of the episode. Let's get into it. So we have on this episode, basically, they're trying to stop Thrawn, Ahsoka, Ezra, and Sabine Wren. You've got them trying to stop him. And this episode was really very much like them... He's in his ship above this sort of fortress that the Night Sisters have, and it's like this medieval castle. And you see them storming this fortress, Sabine Wren, Ezra, and Ahsoka, and they're going in there, they've got the lightsabers ready. You know, Ezra's built a new lightsaber to take on all of Thrawn's zombie Star Troopers, Storm Star Troopers. I think it's Starship Troopers are Storm Troopers. This is so let's get into it really. They're going into this fortress with the Night Sisters, and it is like a medieval feel to it. They're going around it, and it's going up these like windy staircases. And it really did have like a very medieval, like classic, you know, like a Merlin, that type of feel, this castle they're going in. And they've got all these, fighting these stormtroopers, but then they kill a bunch of these stormtroopers. And then basically they're all brought back to life as like these zombies. They've all got these chains on them where the Night Sisters can make them into zombies and bring them back from the dead. And then you've got these zombie stormtroopers going around chasing them. And even when like you see in one bit where I think like one gets like their arm sliced off or something that happens to them, and they're still like moving on the floor. It's kind of like kind of really weird. And I think this has happened apparently in the Clone Wars TV show. Something very similar has happened, but we've never had it in live action form before. And we've seen that a bit of that with that teaser of that with the character of, I think it was Marok, early on in the season, where he, you know, similar thing where it was obviously a character that was very much like it brought back from the dead by the Night Sisters. But you get all these characters, all these stormtroopers then rise up from the dead, and then they're still chasing Ezra, Sabine Wren, and Ahsoka. We see a really cool battle, a duel between Ahsoka and Morgan Ellsworth, in that she has like this Night Sisters sword that she is given, and she's like kind of made an official Night Sister by the Free Night Sisters. But she is then, you know, killed in battle. But I think there is more to that character, and I think with them bringing people back from the dead, I think its likelihood is that she will return in maybe the Thrawn movie or a future season potentially of in the Mandoverse. But then they, you know, basically what happens, Ezra escapes on the ship with Thrawn. They go back to their galaxy, and Ahsoka and Sabine Wren are then left with all like them sort of shell people in their little camp. And they've got their ship, but they've got no way of going back. But it's kind of, I think they're going to obviously get back via the space whales. So I think that's probably their way. They're going to get back to their part of the galaxy. And what I loved as well at the end, you know, obviously the end of this episode, we see that cameo again. Well, I say a cameo, he's been featured throughout this season a lot, of Hayden Christensen's Anakin Skywalker. And I loved the way they did it, is because Ahsoka's looking into the distance at the very end of the episode. You don't see anything. And then Sabine Wren is like looking back, and she sort of says something like, "I thought I could see something in the skies," or something like that. And then they both walk away then, and then you see Anakin Skywalker, Force Ghost, just looking upon Sabine Wren and Ahsoka, and in like deep thought. And that was like the end shot of this show. And then we see Ezra returning as a stormtrooper, but he returns and he sees Hera, and he's obviously with all the rebels there. And then Thrawn is going to, is it Dathomir, that planet? So he's obviously going to be, you know, bringing more of his forces back from the dead, maybe. He's going to be building his forces. And that's going to lead up into either an Ahsoka season 2, the next season of Mandalorian, or the Thrawn movie. I suppose it all depends now where we're at with these writers' strikes, the actors' strikes, when these movies are going to come out, what's the plan of action. There's so much to unravel. And then you've got Shin Hati, her character, she sort of like is now looking like the leader of some of the Thrawn's soldiers that were left behind on the planet of Peridia. And then you have the character of Baylan Skoll, played by the late Ray Stevenson. His character, he's on his like own little mission with the statues of the Mortis gods on Peridia as well. It's like, where do you go from there? Do you continue his storyline? Do you continue his storyline in two ways? Do you recast the role? Because it seems like throughout the season, it was a really significant part, and I thought he was a really good character. Him and his apprentice, Shin Hati. Do you recast that role, or do you go the route they've done it with the Luke Skywalker of the deep faking? I think there's a lot to think about. Or do we just kind of cut that off and they do that in an animated form, in an animated show? For me, it seems like such a big, it felt like a big part of the show where you can't really just cut that character off and not mention or feature him in future parts of the Star Wars live action stuff. But maybe then you look on the other side of things, you know, out of respect. I suppose it depends where that story is going. How significant would that story have been playing into future parts of the Mandoverse and this live action Thrawn movie as well? Was that meant to be a big plot point with Baylan Skoll? So it's a lot to unravel. I'd be honest, I really enjoyed this show. And I read some online. I didn't read the whole thing, but basically there was some on Reddit last night. And I'm obsessed with Reddit. I don't really go on social media that much, but I use Reddit as kind of like, I don't read like news that much or anything like that. So for me, Reddit is kind of like my source of like stuff I enjoy, like movies, comics, podcasts I enjoy, like just reading stuff about that. And I went on Reddit and I saw a post, and the thread was Andor classics, Andor the TV show, classic sci-fi. Ahsoka, classic Star Wars. And do you know what? Whoever made that thread is spot on, absolutely spot on. And that's what I like about the TV shows, what they're doing with them now. More so than Marvel, and I hope it comes to a point. It doesn't come to a point where I feel like Star Wars is kind of losing track and losing focus and doing too much content. I'm not at that point with Star Wars now. I like Star Wars, what they're doing with the stuff. I think Andor was great. I've enjoyed all the TV shows. Boba Fett was a bit, you know, bit of a mixed reaction, but I still enjoyed it. But yeah, Andor was a classic sci-fi show. But if you look at Ahsoka, it's classic Star Wars. You got your Jedi battles, your classic characters, and it was very much a live action version of the Rebels animated show. We all know that. If you watch it, I mean, one of the episodes didn't even feature Ahsoka. It was just based around the Rebels characters. And that, to me, didn't ruin it. I think it really was great. I think what they've done as well, they've really built up the future of Star Wars and the Star Wars characters, because you know they're doing the new movie with the Rey Skywalker character. Fair enough, I'll watch it. I'm all in. I don't mind. But I think these characters, the Ahsoka, the Ezra, Sabine Wren, Thrawn, to me, they are a much more exciting and a bit more for the fans, really getting fans really excited. And the excitement over this Thrawn movie now, whether it's going to be a trilogy, whether it's going to be a one-off movie, I am pumped for it. And I look at these characters with your Ezras, your Sabine Wrens, your Ahsokas, and I'm thinking, these are characters that you can tell stories with for at least the next 5 to 10 years. And they've really set it up well. And I think you've got to give a lot of credit to Dave Filoni for that, for what he's done, because he's really, you know, he's what he's done here with the Ahsoka show. I think even though a lot of people might have not watched them animated shows, they've kind of give us a bit of the backstory and kind of made it sense and not made it feel like, because I've not watched all of Rebels and I'm watching this show. I don't know a lot of the characters, but I don't feel like I needed to watch all of Rebels. I feel like they're filling in the gaps. They're doing it slowly and it's worked really well. And I think for that reason, that's why I've really enjoyed the Ahsoka show. And it really is classic Star Wars. It is really good. I think they really have, each episode has got better and better. I think they've really improved each and every episode. I love the inclusion of Hayden Christensen, him returning as Anakin Skywalker. They've obviously de-aged him for the scenes, but I think it's great. I think they've done it really well. I think they've really made something for the fans. And I see it sometimes, you know, and I've said it before, are they just doing, you know, let's throw in a Luke Skywalker cameo or an Anakin Skywalker cameo? And I've seen it comments online and stuff, and Fred saying, "Are they just? Is it just the cheap pops? Are they just doing? They're just putting, you know, everything is still reliant upon the Skywalker saga, the Skywalker characters, your Darth Vaders." Yeah, and I get that. Star Wars is that, but they're building new characters as well. I think they're balancing it really, really well, because they've brought in like the Anakin Skywalker character, your legacy characters, but then they're building up these new characters, these Ezra Bridgers, the Ahsokas, your Sabine Wrens, and they're building them up now to the point where they're becoming more established and more beloved characters as well. And I think it's just helping having them other characters like the Anakin, your Luke's in there. And the same with the Mandalorian as well. And slowly you've seen them, you know, build up them other characters to be on the same level of off them characters of like your Anakin Skywalkers, your Han Solos. Maybe some people would disagree with that, but I think it's what they're doing, and I think they're doing it really well. They're taking the time with it as well. They're not rushing it. They're taking the time. They're building things slowly. And I am really, really excited for the future of Star Wars over the next 5 to 10 years. I think it's going to be really fun to watch. And I think if they go on the same trajectory, I can't even say that, trajectory, that's the word, as they're going now, I think it's going to be successful. And I think the main thing is Dave Filoni is in charge and he is a super big Star Wars fan. And I think it's the same with Marvel, isn't it? You know, with, what's his face? I can't think of the guy's name who always wears the cap. I was going to say Joss Whedon. It's not Joss Whedon. His name escapes me now, but it's the same thing. They've got people in charge that are loving, who are fans of the franchise. They love it, and it's that's the way it's working. It's working out well. So that's, you know, let me know your thoughts on that. What did you think? Also in this, we had... what else have I been watching this week? I watched another Star Wars thing. I watched the Clone Wars movie, the animated movie. This was released about 2 months before the actual release of the TV show, the animated TV show. It's the same feel. It's a feature-length movie, so it's like an hour and a half. It was 2008 this was released. It's very much the same feel as the animated show. Exactly the same animation. The entrance is the same. The music's the same. It's just basically the, I suppose, the prologue to the show, you know, the entrance to the watching the show. And I was surprised. I heard about this for years. A few people have mentioned it in the community. And I watched it. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really good. So basically, the synopsis is this. This is the introduction of the Ahsoka Tano character in this. She is brought in. And again, spoilers for this if you've not seen it, but it's a 2008 movie, this animated movie. So it is, they're bringing in that character. She is brought in as the Padawan of Anakin Skywalker. Then they go on a mission to try and find and rescue Jabba the Hutt's son, a baby Jabba. And then they've got to take him back to Jabba's palace. And it is a really good story. And what is really cool about it now, watching this back, they, in the Ahsoka TV show, they actually do some of the scenes in this, they kind of delve into it a bit more and do the live action stuff in the Ahsoka show in the flashback scenes of that when she's in the, you know, the world between worlds. So watching this, and I was like, oh, I remember this. And I get where the reference from that and where this is from now. But it was really good. And this is, it actually features the voices of Christopher Lee. He returns as Count Dooku. He's like the kind of the antagonist in this Clone Wars movie. Again, you see a lightsaber duel between him and Anakin Skywalker in this as well. Samuel Jackson, he returns, but then you've got a few different people, some of the voice casters from the show taking on them roles of Anakin, Obi-Wan. And yeah, I really like it. And I think, it's another one where it fills in more gaps. And it's, I think if you're a Star Wars fan and you've not checked out the TV shows, the animated stuff, don't rest on it. It's really good, really solid stuff and really enjoyable to watch. And I think sometimes people say, oh, it's kiddish, it's cartoons, and they're put off by it. But I think they're absolutely phenomenal. The animation is great. I love the animation style. I always look at it with the Captain Scarlet animated show, and it came out probably around the same time, if not maybe a bit earlier, or around that sort of time. And that is really good animation, and it's very similar in the style to Star Wars Rebels and Clone Wars stuff, but the production value from Star Wars is just, you know, 100% better. It just, you know, the voices, the animation, the lips, it's all flawless, and it is really good. And I think they've done really well. I love the way they've now transitioned, and they're still doing the animated stuff, but they've transitioned a lot of that stuff to live action and keeping the same actors, obviously recasting some, but they've really built some great stuff from the animated shows. And it's weird to think now, you think a lot of the animated shows have really built the characters of the live action future of Star Wars. Your Thrawn, obviously Thrawn was from the book, but I mean, your Ahsoka, your Ezra, Sabine Wren, a lot of them characters were all started in the animated shows and they went to live action. And yeah, this is a really good animated show. And I think what I like about it as well, I think with the actual TV show, you can kind of watch most of the episodes singular. You don't really have to follow the story that much, especially in the first two seasons. But it's nice that you can just watch this. You don't have to watch the show. You can count it as the in-between between Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith. It kind of fills gaps between both of those movies. And yeah, it's really nice that you've got another bit of Star Wars lore, a bit more of the saga to throw in there if you want to really, you know, have that binge of Star Wars. So yeah, great watch, The Clone Wars. But that's what's been on the screen this week. Let's move on to today's headline topic.
The Movie Cheer Podcast presents the headline topic for the episode.
Remember to spread a
headline topic. Headline topic.
Remember to spread a bit of movie cheer.
So today's headline topic, bad video game movie adaptions. Big question mark there as well, ladies and gents. I'm not saying these are bad. I'm saying we're going to discuss some video game movie adaptions. And some of them are kind of looked at as bad adaptions because they didn't make, you know, they didn't break even at the box office. They didn't make enough money. And I'm going to really deep dive into these and give you my honest opinions of them and what I think of them. So I've got four choices, and I don't think any of these movies I've actually discussed on the channel before, as far as I'm aware. I may be wrong, but I think they're all fresh new movies to discuss on the channel, which is always cool to deep dive into something new, some new topics. So let's get to it. First of all, I'm going to start off with Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time, starring Jake Gyllenhaal, Gemma Arterton, and Ben Kingsley. Also, Alfred Molina is in there as well. This was a 2010 release. This movie, let's talk about it. I'm going to give spoilers for a lot of these movies. So if you've not watched them, you know, be prepared for some spoilers, ladies and gents. So I was speaking to a friend of mine the other week about this, and this was before watching this movie, and I said, Jake Gyllenhaal doesn't make a bad movie. He's never in a bad movie. I think in, you know, Donnie Darko, Prisoners, what's the one? Nightcrawler. Phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. I'm thinking that I'm missing loads more movies. I get it. He was in the recent Spider-Man movies as Mysterio. Really good in that. So I think it's very rare. I don't think I've seen a bad movie he's been in as of yet. I'm sure there is one out there, maybe. But this one, Prince of Persia, this is a movie set in like Egyptian times, and basically it's got a bit of a time travel element in this, with this dagger that can change. Basically, you can go back in time and change events. And he is this young orphan who's chosen by the king to be his adopted son with his real brothers. And basically we see him years later, and there is a tragedy in the family. The king is killed, and basically he is then framed for the murder of his father. He didn't do it, but then it's like kind of like, you know, getting to the resolution, finding the truth of who was the actual killer. And then you see this really grand story throughout. And this is based on a video game, I think the video game series came out in about 2003, and I think it was on, I'm pretty sure it would have been the PlayStation 2. This is not a game series I've ever played. I don't think I've ever played Prince of Persia. I think it's just one of them. I just never fancied playing it when I was, you know, I was big on my video games. I used to love video games, starting, like, you know, obviously the SNES, the Game Boy, PlayStation 1, PS2. I love my video games. I wish I had more time to play them now. But it's just one of the things. I really enjoy my movies nowadays. But yeah, it wasn't a game I really ever played. And it's got one of the... This movie adaption, you know, it's really... I think it's really good. It's got a lot of wow moments. You know, this character Jake Gyllenhaal plays, the Prince of Persia, he's running around. He's like jumping off buildings. I think it's a really fun movie, and like I said, I love the time travel element. I think it's got a great cast to it, and this movie was I think it was a Walt Disney adaption as well. It was a Walt Disney release, and it didn't make any money. It barely broke even, and we never got a sequel. But I think it's a really great story. I love the dagger where he's kind of like, can go back in time like 10, 20 seconds to change things around and change events. And I think it's got a really good element and really great cast throughout. Plenty of wow moments. I really enjoyed this movie. And again, I said, Jake Gyllenhaal doesn't make a bad movie. To me, this is not a bad video game adaption. Obviously, I've never played the game, so I can't say... With all these, you know, some of these I've not played the games. But I think just taking it as a movie on its own, standalone, I think it's a really fun movie. And it's a shame. I would put this in a category with like the likes of a John Carter, where I think it's a solid movie, but it just didn't hit with fans for some reason. It didn't hit with moviegoers, and people just didn't go and see it, which is an utter shame. But yeah, Prince of Persia, I think it is a really fun movie. Well worth checking out. I think if you liked John Carter... I think a lot of John Carter fans would like Prince of Persia. I think it's up there It's got a feel like Aladdin as well in there. It's like John Carter meets Aladdin, meets a bit of a time travel twist in there as well, which is really good. Well worth checking out, ladies and gents. Next up, Assassin's Creed. This one came out, when did this come out? I think it was, I don't think I've got the date for this one. I think it was maybe 2010s, around that mark, or maybe a bit later on. This stars Michael Fassbender, Marion Cotillard, and Jeremy Irons is in there as well. Basically, it's a two-hour movie, this one. It is basically the premise of the story is Michael Fassbender's character, all his ancestors are assassins, and they were a part of the Assassin's Creed over hundreds and hundreds of years. And the story goes back to this 1400s, and they're after this item called the Apple of Eden, which can, in the future now, in present day, they believe the information of this Apple of Eden can cure violence in criminals. And he's a criminal, and basically he's taken this special prison, they fake his death, and they put him into this sort of like matrix type system where he can remember, go into his ancestors' memories, and they're trying to reveal where this Apple of Eden was left, its last known location, because they believe his ancestors know where it is. So it's got a vibes of very much like the Matrix in there with this. I think the premise of this is so solid. The premise is phenomenal. But the movie just did not deliver for me, Assassin's Creed. Great cast throughout. Jeremy Irons is part of this Templar, and they're over time, they're trying to battle the Assassin's Creed and trying to get the Apple of Eden. And in modern times, he's the father of Marion Cotillard's character. And they're trying to obviously get the Apple of Eden now. Again, really good cast. But for me, zero moments of excitement in this movie. When he's going into his ancestor's body, I feel like it would have been better if he could actually change things. Like, he had the ability to change things in the past. I think that would be more exciting, but he's kind of just viewing it. He's just living the moments and the memories. See, it for me, it kind of just felt like there was nothing exciting. It's like, if he could change things in the past, to me, that would make it a bit more exciting. But he's just kind of reliving the memories, and then it just doesn't deliver. I was watching this, and I thought, way too long of a movie, does nothing throughout this story. But I feel like it would have been better served as a TV show. I think if they did it as like an anthology show with a different criminal each episode going into the ancestors, their ancestors' memories, and doing a different thing each show and doing a different mission, I think it might have worked better. I think this is one of those where, yeah, there's a reason why it didn't click with fans. I played the Assassin's Creed game, the first one. I couldn't get past the training mode, if I'm being honest. But it looks like, I know it's a very popular game series. It made a lot of money over the years. But I don't think, it just didn't have the right story. The story just didn't connect with me. I didn't think it was a good story. I feel like, again, I think it would have worked better if they do it as a TV show, a different character each episode, going into different ancestors' past and telling different stories. I think that would be better served here for this video game movie adaptation. So this is one where it's not like it's a bad one. I feel like it would be better served as a TV show. And I think that's why it didn't work as a movie. So that's Assassin's Creed. Let's move on now to Hitman Agent 47. This is an adaptation of the Hitman video game series. Hitman is very much like a stealth. You play this Agent 47, a bald guy, like myself. He wears a suit and he's basically trained to kill. He's a trained spy, basically trained to do missions. And there's loads more of these agents in this agent program. And this is actually the second adaptation of the Hitman video game series. There was another one. I've not seen the first one. But this one is the second one. It stars Rupert Friend, Zachary Quinto's in there as well as the main antagonist. This was a 2015 release. In my notes here, I put Bourne Identity vibes to it. It's got very much a big feel of Bourne Identity to it, to this movie. Again, I've also put in my notes, though, would be probably better served as a TV show. But I will say with this one, I enjoyed it a lot more, this one. I thought it was very... I think it was very good. I think it was a lot of cool scenes, the fight scenes. I think they were really good. I like the character of Agent 47. For me, the memories of playing this, I remember first memories of playing this video game. I played this. This is a game, probably the one I played the most of, a Hitman series. I remember picking it up years ago, and I think it was in like a pound shop when I was growing up. I used to play like PC games a lot, and I remember picking up the Hitman game for PC. And I think it was when I had probably my first PC, maybe like early 2000s. I think it was around that time personally. Maybe it was a bit later, but I remember picking up that game and playing it on the PC, the first game, and where he's changing the outfits. He takes someone down, gets their outfit, changes. And this is a good thing that happens in the video game, where he'll kill someone, he'll take their outfit, and then he'll go in there and pretend to be part of like a restaurant or something like that. He'll dress up as a chef or something like that. And they actually do that in the movie. And I thought that was a really nice little nod to the video games, if you're a fan of the video games. But yeah, and then I remember playing, I can't remember which one it was. It was one on the PS2. And I can't remember which one it was, but that was a really good one I played and enjoyed. But yeah, really a game series I played a lot more of, and I really do enjoy. Don't get me wrong, it's no Football Manager. That's my jam. They're not going to do a Football Manager movie yet. But yeah, it's basically the story of this. He needs to find Agent 47. He's this cold, calculated killer. He has no feelings, no emotions. And Zachary Quinto, this organization he is a part of, is trying to find the sort of like the head scientist of the agent program, who's in hiding. And basically, this creator, his daughter has the same abilities. So basically, Agent 47 was born with abilities. He's like super smart. He's got better skills. He's like language skills, shooting skills. He's like kind of a bit like Captain America, Winter Soldier. He's like all these like super abilities in fighting and combat. And his daughter, this creator's daughter, has the same abilities. And this organization is trying to get to the daughter to get to the creator, basically. And then Hitman is trying to help her and help the creator as well. And it's a really, really good story. Like I said, it's got these Bourne Identity vibes, especially when Hitman is trying to help his daughter, the creator's daughter as well. And you got Zachary Quinto trying to kind of like manipulate her and stuff. So that's where I got the vibes of a lot of vibes of Bourne Identity in there. But it's got a very like realistic feel to it. It doesn't feel like they're trying to go for like an over the top feel. It feels like they're trying to set it in like a real world setting, this movie as well. Like I said, I think this one would again, I think we're very fortunate to have had two live action versions of incarnations of Hitman so far. Both of them have not made money at the box office. They've not done well. Are we going to get a third one? I highly doubt it. But I feel like this would be a property that would work well as a TV show. You could do the origin of the character, really tell it the younger years, and then go into the future and tell its current day story of Hitman Agent 47, the agent program. There's so many of these though now that are happening. I know they had the Halo show. I don't know if we're getting a season two of that. Fallout is having a video game TV show coming out soon. I think the problem is they're just trying to throw so many at the wall and seeing what sticks. Last of Us, that stuck, that done really well. But then for every great show or great movie with the video game adaptions, there's like 10 duds. Do you know what I mean? There's Super Mario Brothers, and then there's 20 like Assassin's Creed that just don't work and don't pan out. And I think Hitman Agent 47, again, I think it's a lot better than Assassin's Creed. I don't think it's a bad movie. I think it would be better served though as a TV show. I think it would be great to see. I'd actually like to see Rupert Friend return, because I think he was really good in that role as well. But yeah, it's also, so that was 2015 release. Definitely one worth checking out if you've not watched it already, and if you're a fan of the video game series. Finally, now I get to my fourth and final pick of today, of the video game movie adaptions. Are they bad adaptions? And we get to a 2008 release starring Mark Wahlberg, and it is Max Payne. Now, for me, Max Payne is a video game I played once. I remember playing it once and it just wasn't my cup of tea. My memories of this game, the only memories I have of the video game are the dynamic where you can, the skill where you can freeze time, you can slow down time. That is my only memory of that video game. So in the video game, you could kind of like slow things down in shooting scenes, kind of like a bit like The Matrix, where you could slow things down and shoot your enemies. That was like a sort of like a power ability you could use in the video game series. Now, the movie apparently takes very little from the video game series. Now, this is just from what I've heard from a friend of mine. I spoke to my friend in work the other week before watching this. It was actually the day before, and I said, you mentioned Max Payne. I was like, and he said, it's a really bad movie. It's a really bad movie, and it takes nothing from the video game. I thought, you know what? I'm going to go in and watch it anyway. I don't care. And I went and watched it because I obviously never really played the game. And the story of the movie is basically Max Payne, he's this cop in America. All his family have been murdered, and he's trying, they've been murdered like a year before or whatever, and he's trying to get to the bottom of the murderer and find out who murdered his wife and his child. And we see this big story unravel, and he's trying to get to the whoever killed her, and it's this big mystery throughout. And basically, they have that dynamic in the end of the movie where there's a scene where it slows down, but it's very much just a scene like to give us a cinematic feel. It's not like a power he has, an ability he has, really. It's just part of the movie. So that's where that comes in. But I like this movie. It's got, for me, I was watching it, it had vibes of The Crow, Constantine as well. It's got like very much like basically the characters take these sort of this liquid, this, and it gives them, they see like demons and stuff like that. And that's where I was thinking, reminds me of like Constantine. It's got that very noir feel of The Crow. Watching this movie, it's got a noir feel all throughout the movie as well. And I thought it was a really solid crime thriller. I really, really enjoyed this one. It kind of really surprised me because I feel like this one I've maybe watched before, maybe I've watched bits of, because there was a few bits I'm thinking, I'm pretty sure I've seen parts of this before. But yeah, I really like the story. I like the feel of the movie. I just think it had that vibe of like a bit of like Watchmen in there as well, kind of like a certain feel to it as well. But I really thought it was a really solid movie. And again, it's one of those where maybe if I'd played the video games and watched this and I was like, this is nothing like the video game series I loved. This is just a complete, it's just using the name Max Payne. That's all they're doing. And I get that, and some movies do that. They just take the name. But for me, as someone who's going in who doesn't recognize, has no reference of the video game, as a movie alone, I think if you just take it as its own thing and you appreciate it for that, I think it's a really good movie. Well worth watching. Don't get me wrong, it's not a 5-star movie, 5 out of 5 stars. But I think it's a solid movie. And I think if you like your crime thrillers, and I think if you're into Mark Wahlberg movies, well worth checking out this one. I really enjoyed it. I think it was a really good video game movie adaption. So there we have it. We have 4 choices there. And like I said, I didn't want to say at the start, these are not bad per se. I think I always like looking at it. I never like slating a movie for a slating a movie's sake, unless it's Iron Man 3, because that's garbage. But I like looking at movies, doing a deep dive into them, and discussing why they're bad, why they're thought of as bad, how could it be improved, what would work better. And that's why I've enjoyed watching these movies, because the 4 movies that have been really slated for being bombs at the box office, bad video game movies. But I do think there's something in every single one where it's either a good movie, it's misinterpreted, or it could work better as something else, as a TV show. And that's why I've really enjoyed looking at these movies today. So that is today's headline topic over and done with. Let's move on to the next segment of today's show.
Case covers take on other case covers. Can you handle it?
Case. Cover. Collision. Case. Cover. Collision.
Case Cover Collision. Each and every week, I choose a different movie and look at the different case covers for that movie and put them up against each other to find out which one is the winner and which one is the best on Case Cover Collision. Now, this week, I am looking at the movie Transformers Rise of the Beast, an adaptation of the popular Beast Wars TV show, a toy line as well, of the Transformers franchise. First of all, I will say I've not watched this movie as of yet. I've heard exciting things about it. It is one I'm going to watch definitely at some point soon. I'm looking forward to seeing it. Not a big fan of the Transformers movies. I think the first one is pretty decent, but I've only watched a few of them. I remember watching one I didn't really enjoy, but Bumblebee was okay. I'm just not a big Transformers fan, if I'm being honest. But because I like the Beast Wars toys as a kid, and I think this is something I want to check out. I think I'm interested to see what this movie is all about. But I will check it out soon. But let's look at the case covers. We got three different ones to look at today. I've got the DVD cover, I've got the 4K steelbook, and I've got then an HMV exclusive steelbook as well. So let's go for it. First of all, we'll go with the DVD case cover. Let's look at this one. This is the same case cover for the Blu-ray as well, and I think for the standard 4K. So first of all, we got the at the top of it, we've got this Transformers writing. I love that font of the Transformers here. It's got like this grey gradient on it, on the font, and then you've got like underneath it sort of gives this 3D feel, and it's got like this yellow look to it, like a surrounding of the Transformers. It's got this really retro vibe. It looks like the writing for like for the Masters of the Universe movie. It's got a very like 80s vibe to it. I love that. That is that. Honestly, if you're watching this if you listen to this in audio form, check out the video version just to see the actual cover, or check out online. I love that font. Underneath that, it says Rise of the Beast, and it follows that yellow to orange color again, the gradient going down in a different font this time. It's a very like a thinner font, a bit more normalized. I like the way they've made Transformers in a really cool lettering, and then Rise of the Beast underneath, like the sort of like the tagline of this movie, the subtitle of this movie, whatever you want to call it. Then we have this setting of like this jungle setting, because it's all animal characters in Beast Wars Transformers. We have an ape here that transforms into a transformer. It's like a transforming ape. You see this jungle background. You see a few different characters. I think Bumblebee's there, Optimus Prime, a few other characters, like this cheetah character, this ape character, and they're all looking into the distance, all big wide shots. So you see the full body shot of these characters, and they're all sort of like aligned in different placements along this cover. And it's really good. It's a really colourful cover, because all the different characters, you've got Optimus Prime with the red, Bumblebee with the yellow, and then you've got like the black colour of this ape character, orange of the tiger, and then this like other character in the background, this blue character. And it's a really good looking color that they really use a lot of different colors here. It looks really vibrant. I think for me, this says it's a big family action movie. Just looking at that. And underneath that, in very small text, we got the best Transformers movie yet. A quote there. And yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing it. And this cover really excites me, because this looks like, if you're into sort of like any type of Voltron, Power Rangers, anything like that, where it's like Zords, big monsters, big robots. You see this cover, and to me, it looks exciting. I think they've really played it really well with this cover. I think it's really good, well made. Nothing over the top, nothing outrageously new, nothing super fresh, but it works. It works with what you want to deliver for this movie. Next up, let's go now to the 4K. This is the Rise of the Beast 4K Blu-ray 4K Steelbook. Let's have a look at this one. So, very different feel to this one. We've got, I believe this is Optimus Prime, his character. And it's his, he's looking face on. It's a very much a close-up shot, just a headshot here. And you see in the background, it's kind of like buildings. But then it's painted on. It's like a painted effect. It's kind of like the paint is all dripping down, all different colors, like very rainbowy type colors. And all the paint is like, it's like spray. It's like, I suppose it's like a sprayed on effect. Like someone's got a spray tin, a spray can, whatever you want to call it. And they've sprayed on the image of Optimus Prime on this building. And then you've got colors in here. You've got blues, you've got pinks, yellows, oranges. And then the paint is kind of like dripping down. So you see his face close up and then it's all like going down. It's like, is it saying that he can transform from a building? Or have they just like painted it on, you know, they're a big fans of Optimus Prime, maybe. And then it says in a yellow spray on effect again, till all are one. That's where it says. Maybe that's something, a line in the movie, maybe. I'm not too sure. That's in a yellow text. And then underneath that, you've got the similar font of Transformers Rise of the Beast, very smaller than the previous cover, Transformers. This time it's just in a white. There's not a 3D effect to it. I don't think it stands out as well as the first one. I think the other one pops a lot more. For me personally, I think that retro effect really looks a lot better. I think it's a bit too small here, personally. I think the font could be better served being a bit bigger. Look, I do like this cover, but for me, I think the trans... I don't know, it's something about... I think I would have had, personally, I would have made the font for Transformers Rise of the Beast a bit bigger. I think it's a bit too small. That's my critique for this one, I'll be honest with you. I do like the effect of the paint, but I'm kind of like, why... What's the meaning behind that as well? Is there any meaning to that? I think I'm looking at this and you can't really decipher what that is. Is it look like, is it Iron Man or is it a Transformer? What is it? You can't really decipher what it is. So for me so far, as much as I do like that cover, I've got to give it to the DVD. The DVD is winning so far. I think the DVD tells you more of what you're going to get from this movie personally. I think it serves this movie a lot better, even though the 4K cover steelbook is quite nice. Now let's move on to the final cover I want to look at. It is the Transformers Rise of the Beast HMV exclusive limited edition 4K steelbook. This one again, we've got Optimus Prime close up shot, but he's kind of side on this time. He's looking to the distance, very much a close up to mid shot of him. Again, it's very much set in, you can see the backgrounds in the distance, like a bridge, some buildings. So it's like, this is the city landscape here, again, for this character. Very, very simple cover. I think for a HMV exclusive, it could have been a lot more of an exciting cover for this movie. They could have done something really cool. This is a Beast Wars movie. This cover does not feature any of these beast, you know, these animal transformers, apart from the DVD. This one doesn't do it. It's got the same font again. It's at the bottom of the screen. It's got the credit to them here. They've improved what I wanted in the limited edition steelbook. It's got the same font and same look, that 3D look as the standard DVD cover. It's a bit bigger. It's at the bottom of the screen. It works better than the 4K steelbook, this one. So I've got to give them credit to that. But here, the cover just is very bland. Again, for a HMV exclusive, I think, for me, I would expect more. I would expect something a bit more artsy, a bit more thought into it. I feel like they just took a screenshot of the character in the movie, put it on there, put Transformers logo on it, that's it. Really not that much effort into that. So, for me, it doesn't really deliver this one. So, I've got to say, today's winner of Case Cover Collision for Transformers Rise of the Beast goes to the DVD cover. I think it is a great cover. I really like this one. Again, for me, it just tells you everything you're going to get in this movie. You can see the animal Transformer characters, which I think is so important to sell you getting a different slice of Transformers here. I think if you're into them, sort of anything like with... big robots, you're going to like this movie, and you can visibly see what you're getting. I think it worked really well. I think it's a great cover. Really good use of colours, really colourful. Great logo. Love it. Absolutely love it. So that is today's winner of Case Cover Collision. Now let's move on to the next segment of today's show, the Amazon Top 10.
The Amazon Top 10 is approaching.
prepare yourself. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The Amazon Top 10 has arrived.
The Amazon Top 10. Each and every week, I give you the best sales list for Amazon.co.uk for DVDs, Blu-rays, and 4Ks. And let's have a look at that Top 10 list for this week, ladies and gents. So, Amazon.co.uk, we start off with the movie that is in, well, the physical media release that is in 10th. And that is Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1. That is the DVD of that. I don't know if that's come out yet. I think it's come out soon. I've not seen that movie yet, but definitely one I'm going to be checking out soon. At number 9, we have The Flash movie on Blu-ray. That is at number 9. Really good movie. I enjoyed that. At number 8, we have Peeping Tom, Vintage Classics 4K release. I've never heard of that before. Maybe it's something popular. I've not seen everything. Number 7, we have The Exorcist on 4K. It's obviously the re-release on 4K of the 1973 Exorcist movie. That movie terrified me watching that. I'm not a big horror guy. Watched it, absolutely terrified me. Number 6, we have, again, something I've never heard of before. Maybe this is someone who's a very popular director or filmmaker. I'm going to butcher the name probably here. It's Andrzej Zolowski. Free Films, Masters of Cinema. Never heard of him. I put my hands up. I'm maybe someone very popular, but I've never heard of him. Or she. He or she. Who knows? I don't have a clue. At number 5, we have Marvel Studios Guardians of the Galaxy on Blu-ray. Top film, that one. At number 4, we have Transformers Rise of the Beasts on DVD. Great cover. The winner of Case Cover Collision. At number 3, we have Meg 2, The Trench. These Meg movies are meant to be really fun. I've got to watch these at some point. At number 2, we have Barbie on DVD. Again, another one I've not watched as of yet. Adaption of the toy line Barbie. And at number 1, we have the Super Mario Brothers movie on DVD. Great movie and a great... Talking about video game adaptions. Today, Mario Brothers is fantastic. So that is the Amazon Top 10 for this week, ladies and gents. Let's move on to the final segment of today's show. And the final segment of today's show is Not So Worthy Blockbuster Housekeeping. This is the part of the show where I like to kind of just ease us out of the show, have a little chit chat, discuss what's going on with the Movie Cheer podcast, what's going on with the Movie Cheer Town community as well. Let's go to it. First of all, latest Patreon video. You can join Patreon for $1. You get access to webcomics, bonus videos, bonus podcasts, audio commentaries. You can sign up for a month and get all that extra goodness if you want it. And there's regular content. I put a new bit of content on the last Monday of every month, either some type of bonus content. The bonus video was the bootleg movie memories video where I was discussing some bootleg movie memories. I really enjoyed doing that video. It's about a 20-minute video. Like I said, if you enjoy Movie Cheer content and you want a bit extra content, check out the Patreon. The link is in the bio description if you're watching on YouTube. So that is the Patreon content for this month. Let's have a look at some comments on some of the recent content. So first of all, I've got a comment here. This was a reply on, I think it was on the last video we did, the Quick Topics video. And I do apologize to this person because I don't know whether I've ever... This is my problem with YouTube sometimes. I wish there was a bit where you could save people's names because sometimes I see these usernames and I'm like... I remember this person, I can't remember, and I wish you could go into your previous history of speaking to someone sometimes, because I'm absolutely awful at remembering names, and I honestly, that's me being accountable. I suck at remembering names of people, and especially when it's a username, especially. So I do apologize to this person. If you've ever mentioned your name, I do apologize. And if you want to let me know your name, feel free if you don't. I totally understand that. But this is from RSGraph281. And this was a reply. He said, well, I love, I was saying, which ones are your favourite Kevin Costner movies? And he said, well, I love the classic Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, of course. Great movie. Untouchables, yeah, another solid movie. I really enjoy that. It's another great classic from him. I love. As for some of his lesser taught stuff, I really enjoyed Wyatt Earp and Mr. Brooks. Mr. Brooks is especially interesting as it is pretty different role than he usually goes for. Next up is, in my queue, is Dragonfly. Seems promising from reading the back. I will have to check out that one. I think Kevin Costner as well. I'm pretty sure he's doing a two-part Western. I can't remember what it's called. I know he's been on some show or something which was really popular. I can't remember what it's called. But he's actually doing a Western movie, not linked to that TV show. It's coming out soon. I don't know if it's like Netflix or something like that, but I can't remember. There's something saga it's called. I can't recall what it was. But yeah, great comment. Thank you very much, RS Graph. Let's move on to another comment here. This is on the Should You Buy a DVD Player in 2023 video. We've got Keen CV. He or she said, nothing wrong with a cheap DVD player if that is what someone wants, but consider the TV that is going with it. Upscale is fakery, not the real deal. Sadly, many TVs series are broadcast in HD, but only offered in standard definition. If you have friends that have Blu-ray 4K, there is good supply of cheap rejects as they replace their old DVDs with newly available Blu-rays or 4Ks. I suppose that is something I've heard in the community a lot where, TV shows, a lot of them are in standard definition, and I think that's just the way it is with a lot of TV shows, unfortunately. But yeah, great comment. Thank you very much. Another one we've got on Should You Collect DVDs in 2022? I've got this from Brooks Chantel 200, and they said, DVD is fine with me too. I'm just a movie fan. I love that. We are all movie fans in this community. I still have an old cassette at home, 1989 cassette. Yeah, I just say it again. DVDs, 4Ks, Blu-rays, videos, Laserdiscs, whatever you watch your movies, everyone in this community is just a fan of movies. That's what it comes down to. I love my movies and I'm happy. As long as I can see it, it's good, decent video, audio quality, I'll enjoy it. Final bit of thing, again, I've said this in a few previous shows, the content has been a bit all over the place. I do try and get the videos, the podcasts out for Saturdays. Hopefully this one will come out on Saturday. I've been also, I'm changing a few changes with my job outside of doing the podcast recently. So my job is kind of like changing over the next week or so. And it's been a few changes over the past few weeks, which has kind of made things a bit harder to film content and just time when I get back from work and stuff, finding things a bit tiring recently. So hopefully over the next few weeks, I'll have a bit more free time, basically, to not reveal too much. But I appreciate, as always, everyone being patient with me and, not being, come on, you got to make a video, you got to make a podcast. I appreciate everyone being kind and being thoughtful in this community. Thank you very much, as always. But anyway, that is it for another episode of the Movie Cheer Pod. If you enjoyed this episode today, please do give it a like if you're watching on YouTube and subscribe to the channel. If you're listening to this on a podcast app of your choice, please do subscribe to the podcast app and leave a 5-star review and send a link to that review and I will read out on the show. Leave a comment if you're watching on YouTube. What do you think of these bad video game movie adaptions? Are they bad? What are some bad video game movie adaptions that you have watched? Maybe some that you feel like would work as better as a TV show, or some maybe like the likes of Halo, which would work better as a movie. Let me know some of your thoughts. Let me know, Case Cover Collision, which one was your favorite case cover? What did you think of the Ahsoka finale? Let me know all your thoughts on today's topics, ladies and gents. It's been a great show. I always enjoy coming back and doing these podcasts. And I love when it's a topic like this where you can really dig deep into it. Thank you very much for watching, ladies and gents. Remember to spread a bit of movie cheer. And as always, I will see you next time.